young birds flying, and a soft wind blowing cools the sweat inside my palms.
Thank you, Elvis, and close welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show with Dad's Point of View. That happens to be an obscure Elvis Presley song written by an unknown songwriter of that time whose name is Neil Diamond. This is the Bruce Salin Show, and you can email me questions at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Pastor Sams, who is my double guest today. This segment is sponsored by North Pier Fiduciary Management, a registered investment advisor and the group I trust and use to handle my money. Reach them at npier.com and ask for free for their newsletter. Just write to info@npier.com. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years and is also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. I forgot what it is. Somebody told me it's not gun or it's gone. I'm not sure. Maybe Pastor Drew can enlighten me. He and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California. Welcome to the show, and thank you for subbing for Wayne, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, I love it. Twice as much Bruce on a Thursday is good for me.
Well, I adore having you on my show. And we should do a special show again. We did one that hasn't aired yet, but we should do one at some point on something that you would really like to cover. So
sounds great.
When you have an idea of something like that, let me know.
We will be in touch.
My column covers a whole lot of stuff. The column this week, which is called "Summer Is Over," and you mentioned on the break that you were particularly kind of struck by the New York trip I had because of something you've been watching and something you've been thinking about. To tell the listeners that haven't read the column yet, I was invited to speak at a conference in New York, and it was the beginning of the summer, and I knew my younger son had always had a fascination with New York, so I decided to make a full trip out of it for just my son and I. And I brought him to New York. I took care of my business, did the speech at the conference, and then my son and I spent 3.5 days doing New York. And when I say doing New York, we did it. And that included, among all the usual highlights, the more sobering highlights, so to speak, of visiting Ground Zero. And I know you had some thoughts on that, so I will let you speak.
Well, I wanted to hear more about Ground Zero, and especially there was a moment that I read, or a line in your article, and you said, and to my son's credit, he was, quote-unquote, there in body and spirit when you were there visiting Ground Zero. And that really struck me. I was thinking, this is your younger son, David. He's 14.
Mm-hmm.
So he was about 4 or 5 years old,
right,
or so when 9/11 happened. What a formative age. And here now, 10 years later, as an adolescent, he is there in that place of so many emotions, no doubt, that he experienced. And it struck me, not only that line, but my wife and I have been watching, I don't know if you've caught it, it's on Discovery Channel. Steven Spielberg is producing it. It's a two-part documentary on rebuilding Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, in the summer, and normally summertime we think is, you know, less work and traveling with kids, and I know that there's many, many people who are working around the clock trying to rebuild Ground Zero for the, you know, the 10-year anniversary coming up. And it just struck me, for you to be there and to see it live. What was that like for you as a dad to see David there fully present, you know, there in body and spirit?
Well, he has demonstrated a maturity from an early age. So while other kids might have been like bored or not interested, we started at the memorial site, or the future memorial. They have a building where they have artifacts and models of what it's going to look like. And we started there, and they had some very powerful images, as you can imagine, plus so-called souvenirs is the wrong word, memorabilia from the incident, including the very scorched fire hat of one of the hero firemen who died trying to rescue people. And unless you were dead, you couldn't be unmoved. And my son was moved. We then walked around the whole area, which is all fenced in, fenced off, and we passed the fire station, which is right next to Ground Zero. And as good fortune might have it, there was a group of servicemen that were visiting the fire station. And they, we went in and just said hello, thanked them for their service. And I don't know, there was something about seeing those servicemen in uniform, seeing the firemen that were basically interacting with what you might call brethren. Right away, it impacted me and my son. Then around the corner from the fire station, they have a one of those wall bronze murals that is extraordinary. It's about, I don't know, 30, 40 feet long by about 4 or 5 feet high, and it's a very, you know, loose bas-relief, I guess is what they call it, of the events. And my son just looked at it and absorbed it. And I think the impact, he's grown up in a world where basically it's, he's grown up with 9/11. That's probably the first event of his life that he may or may not remember exactly where he was when he heard about it. For me, that first event was JFK's assassination. For you, I wonder what it was, actually, Pastor Drew. What was the first one that you, you know, was it John Lennon's death? What was it?
Well, you know, funny you say that. I was born the day John Lennon died.
Whoa.
So actually, I did hear that growing up, because my mom would always tell the story. She was in labor, and the nurse ran in. She says, "Oh, my gosh, John Lennon's been shot." And she says, "Just help me deliver my baby."
And by the way, just as a reminder, he was just 40 years old when he was shot. So what was your then first memory, since obviously you probably don't remember too much the first 27 seconds of your life?
No. I think the Gulf War was a really big thing for me as a kid growing up and watching that on television.
You were too young to remember the Challenger disaster, were you?
Yeah, you know, I remember just fragments. I think what I remember more is watching the news reports in the years afterwards, looking back on that moment. But I really don't remember it that well live. I don't know where I was live.
Did you see 9/11 unfold?
I did. You know, my wife and I were just talking about this. I was asking her where she was, and she was getting ready for work. And I had normally, well, I was in college at the time. I normally didn't get up that early in college, but I did with a group of guys. We were going to go work out at the gym, and I walked in. And it was right in between the two plane strikes.
So oh my gosh.
The first plane strike had occurred. And as I walk into the gym, this is on campus at the University of Southern California, and there's this crowd, not in the gym, but in the lobby, looking up at the television screens. And I'll never forget this. I walk in, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing this, you know, one of the Twin Towers on fire and smoke coming out. And we're trying to piece it together. Even at that moment, the newscasters weren't quite sure. They were saying, well, maybe it's an accident. You know, a plane struck a building, and it was just so odd. Like, how could that happen in New York? But then we saw live the second plane, and that's when we knew something was much bigger than just an accident. And I remember I stayed in that lobby for about 4 or 5 hours. People
wow.
kind of streaming, and I just couldn't move.
Hmm.
And just watching that unfold, I'll never forget it. So I have yet to be at Ground Zero, and I'm really looking forward to the day when I can visit it. But I think that's probably the most significant event in my life, even though there's, you know, the Gulf War. I still think 9/11 for me was the biggest one.
Well, the Gulf War is not a singular event, it's hard to look at that in the same way that you would, like I did for JFK's assassination, the Challenger explosion, John Lennon's death, 9/11. There have been a handful in my life. So
that's true. I guess that's more of a season that it's hard to, when you focus it down to just one moment, it makes them that much more powerful. Boy, and then the months afterwards, everybody around the U.S. just acted differently. Flying American flags off the... Remember those things off the cars?
Yes.
And just everybody was
actually loved that time. Obviously not the reason for it, but I loved the esprit de corps and the sense of genuine patriotism that permeated the country.
Yeah, people were just kinder.
Yes,
throughout.
That too.
Really
that
beautiful.
Too. Well, I didn't expect us to get to be to do such a sobering segment, but that's powerful, and that's what I love about live radio. Let's come back and talk about Summer is Over. And how that may be affecting you and your work, and what else it might mean to our listeners and to you and I.
Good. Fantastic.
Okay, we'll be back with a teen rap and another segment with Pastor Drew Sams. This is Bruce Salen. Join us in a moment.